NFL, every NFL team now has a hyperbaric chamber. And when somebody gets a broken leg or some kind of a sprain or some bruises, they'll put them in there for some of their healing time. They'll spend time in the hyperbaric chamber because it forces oxygen into the molecules and into the pores of the body and helps it heal quicker. The little girl, you remember little Jessica who got caught in the pipe some years ago, about 20 years ago now, caught in the pipe out in Texas. Her whole leg was completely blue. They thought they were going to have to cut it off. They put her in a hyperbaric chamber, left her there for a few days. Somebody thought it was kind of new then. They said, well, let's try it. It can't hurt, can't lose anything. Let's try it. She ended up only losing one toe because of the hyperbaric chamber. What I'm telling you is the world, antediluvian world, was different. People could live forever, for seemingly forever. Can you imagine how smart you'd be at 900? You know, I mean, you'd know a lot. I'm learning stuff now. I'm thinking, man, I should have known that. But I never had that experience. Now I know. I know I need to change the transmission fluid in my transmission now better. Didn't know that before so much. You know, people don't do that stuff. But I know better now. When certain things happen. What I'm saying is you learn some stuff along the way. 900 years old, pretty smart. Perfect environment. You'd take a breath and you'd get a buzz from that. It was so good. You were living in a world that was antediluvian, but not only was it a perfect environment, there was an interaction between the spirit world and the physical world. And the Bible says the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were beautiful, and they took them as wives. Now that's some pretty weird stuff. You want to go chase it a little bit, a little thread. 2 Peter 2:4 and Jude 6 talk about how certain angels, certain demons, certain angels who left their proper state and went over and desired strange flesh, they weren't supposed to intermarry with the women, but they did. And they chased the women. And God said, that's it, violence is filling the land, things are out of control. He wiped it all out with a flood. He took those angels who didn't keep their proper state and he stuck them in chains in darkness. That's what I quoted for you a moment. 2 Peter 2 verse 4 and Jude verse 6 talks about those angels. They're where? Chains of darkness. What's this? The abyss. The bottomless pit. The pit of the abyss. And they're mad. They're not happy. And during the tribulation, God, in His effort to get our attention, is not just going to do cataclysmic things with nature, but He's going to do cataclysmic things in the realm of the spirit world as well. The pit's going to be opened, and these angry, worst of the worst, insolent demons are going to be unleashed in the world. That's what the Bible says. It's going to be like a swarm, not going to be a few. It's going to be like a swarm. And everyone who acknowledges and sees them will see them as a swarm, and it will wreak in them the fear that would come upon a husbandry man who was looking at his field and everything he had hopes in for the fall and winter being destroyed. These demons are going to come in like a flood, the Bible says, in the smoke. And there came out of the smoke, verse 3, locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. Now, when he's talking about these scorpions, the type of power is not that they are scorpions, but like scorpions. In other words, they're going to be real physical demons, just like scorpions are real. The thing about scorpions is they lurk in crevices. They lurk in dark places, and they come out and they put your hand on a wall. The Bible talks about putting your hand on a wall and a scorpion coming out and biting you. It's a dangerous, dangerous thing to live in a land where there are scorpions. They're scary. I mean, I've never seen a scorpion that was in the wild. I've seen them in like little you know, places where they have the insects and zoos and stuff. But I've never really seen scorpions. But they're kind of creepy. But how much more creepy to put your hand down and get hit by one? And that's kind of what he's saying. He's saying they're like that. Because the moment you get hit by a scorpion, I don't know about you, but the first thing I'd think is, uh-oh. It'd be more than an uh-oh. I'd think I was dead. From what I understand, they usually aren't fatal, but they are close to it. They'll make you so sick that you can't just move on. And that's kind of why these guys are likened, like these demons are likened as scorpions, because they're going to lurk, they're going to be a physical reality in the world, they're going to be interacting with the people that are out there. And the Bible says in verse 4, it was commanded to them that they hurt not the grass of the earth, nor any green thing, nor any tree. Now, we saw the grass getting burnt up back in chapter 8. What's he talking? Well, the grass keeps coming back. I find that it's driving me crazy in my lawn. How about you? But, you know, it's just a matter of time. The grass starts coming back. in the grass. And he says, don't hurt what's coming back, is what he's saying. Don't hurt any of the trees. That's the bad. He's just making it clear that what he's going to do is he's going to have these on a mission. He says, but only, hurt only those men who have not the seal of God in their forehead. Now, who's that? Well, if you read Tim LaHaye, he'd say everybody who's a believer in the tribulation's got a seal. But my Bible doesn't say that. The only people who are sealed in chapter 7 were the 144,000. That means that if you decide that you're going to wait, and in your insolence you think you're going to get saved if the rapture happens, you'll hedge your bets, you get no pass on this. The Bible says only those who are not sealed in their foreheads. You see, what's going to happen is people who are truly saved during the tribulation, we saw it in chapter 7 at the end of the chapter, that those who came out of great tribulation would be delivered from the scorching heat and so forth after they get in Jesus' presence. Some of them will be beheaded. Some of them will have thirst. He says thirst won't bother them anymore. Why? Because the unsealed don't get a pass. The sealed are the 144,000. Anybody who comes to Christ during this time are going to be particularly battered by these demons. If you look at the passage, it says in verse 4 that they only are to hurt those men who have not the seal of God in their foreheads. Now, men here obviously is generic for humans, though I hate to even say it in our day of political correctness. But I want you to know, ladies, you don't get a pass. They're going to hurt you too. So if you don't have God and you don't get out of here on the first departure in the rapture, you're in for a heap of trouble. The Bible says in verse 5, and to them was given that they should not kill them. That's what it's like with scorpions. That's the likening to the scorpions. But that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torments was like the torment of a scorpion when it striketh a man. Now, interesting thing about this word torment is the word torment and the word hurt are very important in our study here this morning. The word for hurt, they were not to hurt they were only to hurt the unsealed people. The word for hurt here is a word adikao. The root word there is dikaios, which means righteousness, and the word is a at the beginning of it is a word that negates it, unjust, unrighteous. In other words, what he's saying is, I want you to do to them as much injustice as you can. Now, things are bad. We've already seen chapter 8. We've seen the water is a mess. I mean, you can't even trust what you're going to drink. People are going to be parched with thirst. We saw the water in the oceans turned to blood. We've seen the blockade, as it were, as ships were destroyed in the sea. We've seen all kinds of cataclysmic things happen. And here these people are on the earth. And suddenly now that things are really, really bad. Have you ever just been overwhelmed by how bad things maybe seemed, or how big a job was you were trying to do, or how much the problems were mounting up? Well, nothing like that. It's going to be so far above that, anything you've had nowadays is going to seem like a cakewalk. These people have watched everything that they've loved, cherished, and lived for turn just to mud, turn to ashes, and be ripped from them. And now God's going to unleash the demons. And what did the demons do after all? Well, the Bible says that God has spoiled them, disarmed them in Colossians, that they have nothing more now than big mouths. I mean, they're accusers, they're tempters, they're condemners. And what we see here when it talks about hurt, they're going to do injustice. And when they torment, the word for torment is a word that means to torture. Now, this is a Bible dictionary term, definition. The word basanitzo, which is the word for torture, means a testing by a touchstone, which is a black siliceous stone used to test the purity of gold or silver by the color of the streak produced on it by rubbing it with either metal. Now, what I'm saying is, if you take and you look at a touchstone that they use to check and see if something's legitimately gold or silver, this word literally means that these demons are here to just reach into the very core, rip down in through the sinew and the flesh and bone and see who you really are. Now, folks, if God unleashed the devil on you today to see who you really are, do you think you'd come up saying, I'm good? Me and Jesus are good. I know my Bible and I know my Redeemer liveth and I know that nothing shall separate me. Beloved, that's what's going to happen here. These demons are going to be unleashed to do unspeakable torment and trauma. We're talking depression. We're talking despair. We're talking everything that ever was good is taken away. They're going to be, it's all going to be taken out of the midst of their beings and of their experience. There will be no soft spot. And for 5 months, God's going to give them power on this earth. Just like when a scorpion hits and you go through that valley of pain and torment, and all you can think is, I know I'm going to die. I know I'm going to die. I just know. Brother Jim Wilson went through a time where he was getting his mind around something. He didn't know what was going on. The doctors didn't know what was going on. His pancreas was a wreck and they were getting ready to operate and do all kinds of stuff. They did stuff. They poked and they prodded, and somebody came in and said, maybe it's celiac, and he had this condition. Jim at one point was saying, I just wish I could die. I mean, that's despair and that's hard. And he would tell you, he would say, man, it was tough and I just despaired of life. Folks, that is what Paul felt in 2 Corinthians 1. We despaired even of life, having the sentence of death in ourselves. These people are all going to have that. And the Bible says in verse 6, and in those days men shall seek death, shall not find it. They shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. In other words, when it gets so despairing and so miserable and so awful and so just overwhelming, every sin of their flesh, every deed they've ever done is going to harass and harangue, and there will probably be pains of the torments that were taking place, maybe from drinking the water, whatever. But whatever is going to go, it's going to go so deep that they're going to despair of life. And it takes a lot for a man to despair of life. I mean, we love our life. We nourish and cherish our bodies. We think, man, we got to eat no matter whether we feel bad or not. We go nourish and get something out of the fridge, you know. We just always are nourishing this flesh. These people are thinking, it's going to be today. I know, I'm just going to die. Now, folks, every one of us in this room at one time or another has had our head down thinking, man, I just don't know if I can go on another day. You felt a little depression. It's what Winston Churchill used to call the black dog. It was this black dog. And it would harass him and he would feel depressed. Winston Churchill was given to fits of depression. Some of you know what it means to be depressed like that. These people are going to have 5 solid months of despair. And they're going to figure it's going to be over soon, but it doesn't come. And the next day they wake up and it's just as dark and miserable as it was. And these are the worst of the worst, so they're not going to hold anything back. There's going to be throes and fits and dreams and terrors and dreads. It's going to be all together over the top. And the Bible says of them that the shapes of them, and this is part of it too, because if I were just talking about what you and I experience when the devil messes with us, they never manifest themselves. But in this situation, the Bible says the shape. The Bible's word for shape here is the same word when the Bible says Jesus became a man. He took upon himself the form of a servant. These are going to take the shape. This is physical manifestation of demons. And what they're going to do is they're going to harass. Think in terms of the taskmasters in Egypt. You got to make bricks with no straw. And then they get out the whip and say, whoosh. And the Bible says of these demons that the shape of the locusts were like unto horses prepared to battle. And on their heads were as it were crowns, and their faces were as the faces of men. And their hair was as the hair of women. And their teeth were as the teeth of lions. And their breastplates as it were breastplates of iron. Now I've just put a few things together. But listen to these thoughts. These are real and discernible demons. They will see them. Horses? Well, horses prepared to battle. I don't know about you, but when you read about them in the Old Testament, man, the steam coming out of their mouth on a cold morning, and the chomping and the intimidation and the wanting to go. You know, that kind of intimidation is indicated here. You got crowns, and the word crowns of gold on their head, that's the Stephanus. That means these are some really battle-worn spirits that have come out. And the Bible says they have faces of men, which says they have intelligence. Don't think the demons are stupid. You know, the Bible talks about the devil having a superior form of wisdom. These guys know how to poke you. They know how to read you. They know what you're up to. They'll come back and they'll say out loud the things you wish were kept in darkness. They'll tell you what you did, and they'll remind you, and they'll tell others. And they'll say, here! And you'll feel humiliated and ashamed and beaten. And the Bible talks about them not only that way, but it says they have teeth and wings and tails and stings. These are unchained, angry demons with one mission: to use every tool in their demonic arsenal to terrorize those humans on earth. That's their job. Terrorize. Now, I don't know what scares you, but our condition in this country is we're not afraid of much of anything anymore. We've been inoculated, but I'm telling you, when you look death in the face, when you look demons in the face and teeth like lions, and they look knowingly at you, you're going to say, whoa, will it end today? 5 months, beloved, 5 months solid of harassment and terror and trauma, haranguing and chasing and misery, and men will think, it's got to be almost over. Well, the 5 months do end. And one of the neat things about the fact that there are 5 months mentioned here is that there is a degree of hope even sown in all of this drama. God is letting the people of earth who would chase the word and try to figure it out and read through their pain, their trauma, and their despair, and they would realize in 5 months their trauma would end. The Bible says, secondly, in verse 12, one woe is past. You think that's a woe? I mean, I can't do it justice, folks. I'm not there. I'm taking the Word of God. I'm trying to say, where are these demons coming from? What's in the abyss? I'm saying Scripture with Scripture. I'm just trying to figure it out. We can't be dogmatic on every aspect of everything I've said, but what I want you to know is it's going to be bad. The Bible calls it a woe. And it's going to be traumatizing. One woe is past in verse 12, and behold, two woes more hereafter. In verse 13 it says, and the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God. Now, we visited that altar earlier in the book when the martyrs reared their heads and said, how long, O God? How long till you take vengeance? And the reason we hear the voice saying now to the angel to blow his trumpet is because vengeance is time. Time for vengeance. It's time for the Lord to avenge many of the martyrs in a supernatural way. It won't be the end-all, be-all of that vengeance, but it'll be the first stage of it. Verse 14 says, he's saying to the sixth angel, this voice from the altar said, to the sixth angel which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great Euphrates River. Now, I want you to underline the word in and put off in your margin the word upon or over. Because the Greek word is epi and it means upon or over. They're not in there. I've heard different theories on this. But upon reflection and doing research and reading, I've come to the conclusion that what we're seeing here is a war over the water. Second section. Because what you have is you have four angels. And whenever there were four, that usually means the complete scope of things, like the four corners of the earth. It just means all of it, okay? Now, this world in which we live is so far removed from the Middle East, I have to give you a little geography lesson. Right now, since 1970s, they started building dams in the Euphrates River. That was the first time that had ever happened. Before that, everybody just lived and enjoyed the fact that the Euphrates was there. It was a desert area. It didn't rain much. Anytime it rained, most of it got absorbed into the sand as quick as it hit. But in the Euphrates, the word "eu" means good, and the word "phratis" means flowing. Good flowing, that's what the good flowing river. It was about 5 miles wide, had a lot of water. It was their lifeline in that area in the Middle East. Now, what they have now is like 22 dams. Now, this has become a real problem in the Middle East. Most of us don't hear about it. It's coming into our news more and more now, little by little. Movies and stuff are talking.